It's a treat to be in the house on this Monday night. I know that some, as Pastor Dunn mentioned, probably are worried about the storms. I'll tell you how I've always been built. I'd rather be in God's house than any place I know if a storm really came. And I got my little boy, Aiden. Aiden, won't you stand up? Let everybody see this little guy right here. It's my big buddy right there. And one thing about Aiden, he's not very bashful. I don't know where he got that from. He's not very intimidated with crowds, and he's a funny kid, sweet kid, loves Jesus, goes to church, faithful. I really believe this. I believe that young boy there that's 10, I tell him this all the time. I say, Aiden, there's no limit at what you can do in the kingdom of God. I believe that. And, you know, some say, well, Derek, did you call him? No, I never said he's going to be a preacher or a singer or Sunday school teacher. I don't have any idea what he'll be, but I do believe whatever he chooses, whatever God chooses for him, I believe he'll follow and obey the Lord. And that's my prayer for that little man right there. I do. I know that there are home folks, and we got folks that come from around here. And I got three guys. I would say that they come to hear me. I think that's why they came. Aaron and Brad and Tim came from Northwest Arkansas to come to this revival tonight. And now I'll just go ahead and tell you something about them. I'll promise you they stopped and ate somewhere before they came. Matter of fact, Brother John, if you want to know where I believe this, at Western Sizzlin'. And I'm sure they put a hurt on that over there, boys. I won't tell you right now. But I'm honored. They're my friends. They've heard me preach. Sometimes I'll look up Brother Tom in a crowd and there they'll be. And I appreciate their faithfulness. They go to Calvary there, and Brother Brad goes to Elkins, full gospel. And but the other two fellows go to Calvary, where Brother Clark Snow is the pastor. And I'm glad they come. Y'all glad they come tonight? Amen. Give them a hand. If you have your Bible, go with me tonight into the book of Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 48. I couldn't get away from this. I work on sermons. Matter of fact, I worked last week. I developed two new sermons. One of them I finished. The other one I'm halfway finished. And here's what I tell them all the time. It'll be coming to a pulpit near you. Amen. And it'll come there quickly. Genesis chapter 48, just kind of the flow of, we preached on Calvary Sunday morning, and then we dealt with the valley. What we learned in the valley, or in the valley, what I learned in the valley, I did that Sunday night. Tonight I'm going to shift gears and look at Genesis chapter 48. When you get to Genesis chapter 48 and you get to verse 1, shout a big amen. Amen. If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you to stand. Now I'm going to read to you from the Word of God. Now, I did cheat. I'll go ahead and tell you. I made sure I looked in my book. There's one reason I keep a date book. I want to know what I preached here last year. Because I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't preach it the same even if I did preach something over. But I do know this, there's folks in the church that mark it in their Bible. Say, boy, Brother Dick, we heard you. And I mean, they're all spiritual. You know how they are. They really encourage you. And I'll just tell you how I am. I've never been scared. I think we sung Amazing Grace more than once. And I'd like to hear it again. God gives me a good sermon. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm going to preach that baby. And so God just wouldn't leave me alone. And I want to obey the Lord. I do believe this will fit you. One part of this message, maybe two parts, maybe all of it, will minister to your heart. Look at verse 1 of Genesis 48. It came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." He took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. One told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself, set upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, Behold, note this, behold, I'll make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people. I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine." I got those two little words underlined, "are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance." Look at verse 7. "And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath. The same is Bethlehem." I want everybody to look up here. I'm going to make this simple tonight. I want to preach tonight for the next few moments on this thought: worshiping at the Father's house. I like that so much, I'm going to hit the rewind button. Worshiping at the Father's house. And can I just tell you tonight, what we've come to do in this revival is worship at the Father's house. Matter of fact, I don't have time, but I'll just say this before I pray. I believe that worship, Brother Tom, worship, Brother Carl, is contagious. Have you ever seen an old boy? I mean, you'd watch him raise his hands and tears would plow furrows down his face. And something, you couldn't take your eyes off of him. Amen. You knew he was tapping in to something a little higher than the ceiling. The Holy Ghost, the God of glory, was moving in his soul. And I'm going to preach tonight on worshiping at the Father's house. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you for every man, every lady, every boy and every girl. I thank you for what you did Sunday morning and what you did Sunday night. I thank you for the good Holy Ghost that has already ministered and moved in among your people. If there's anybody tonight that is lost, I pray that this would be the night that they'd walk an aisle, kneel at the foot of the cross and accept you as Lord. If there's any backslidden, that they would rededicate. If there's any sick, God, we still believe at Cornerstone that you and you alone are the healer. Fill this place with the Spirit of God, and we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the house of God. Now, I don't know why, but when I came to this text, I am reminded of Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. I am reminded, Brother John, over there about that one little verse that said, "By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff." That's a powerful scripture. And you've read it, you've studied it, and I just believe as we come to this text, and as I look at Genesis 48, and the young sister, if she would put up verse 5, she does a wonderful, how many would brag about the scripture, put her upper? Amen, does a wonderful job. Genesis 48 and verse 5. He says there, he says that the two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee, look at that root, they shall be mine, or are mine. That's what I wanted. Are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Here's what he did. Would you agree with me that Jacob removed grandson and called them, according to that scripture, he calls them sons. Now, you say tonight, what's a big deal from a grandson to a son? Everybody look up here. Would you agree with the man of God? God don't have grandsons and granddaughters. God has sons and daughters. And so he calls them sons. And I said, God, I like that. But here's what he did for Joseph. He gave Joseph double blessing in the family lineage. And so Joseph is doubly blessed when his daddy called these boys sons. Now, I don't know why, but I said, God, that's wonderful. He said, but Derek, would you check where it's taking place? Would you look at what's going on in the father's house? There, Joseph is there. Jacob is there. Jacob's the father. Joseph's the son. Now these two boys, Reuben and Simeon, are called sons, and they've gathered in to the father's house. And there they are, Brother Tom, in the father's house, and they are worshiping God. They are there giving God praise and giving God glory. Now, before I jump out and preach what I want to preach, old Jacob has leaned upon the top of the staff. He knows that he doesn't have very long to live. And something living on the inside is telling him that he wants to give these boys, and he wants to pour into their lives, and he wants to teach them that worship is essential. Then he said, I'm going to show you boys that worship is not just good while you're living. Worship is good while you're dying. Worship is good any day of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but in the dark days of my life, I've drove down the road and listened to Christian songs and lifted my hands and worshiped King Jesus. Would anybody agree? Worship is good any day of the week. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have time. That's not in the sermon notes, but it was pretty good. I'll say amen myself. But here's where I'm going. There are three thoughts that I want to give you about worshiping at the Father's house. Now, I do have wonderful news. I'm going to give you point one, and then right off the bat, Brother Mike, I'm going to give you sub point A. Boy, you talk about a deal right there. Hey, here it is. So I want you to write this down. Number one, I want to preach to you about there are the aspects. That's a big word when you're from Arkansas. Don't laugh at me, Brother John. The aspects of worship. Now, I know that. You just give me just a moment. The Lord describes the nature of genuine worship. So I said, God, what do you want me to say about the aspects of worship? He said, Derek, he said, take my people on a little journey. And he said, walk them through and show them what it means, what the aspects of worship really means. And this was the first one that just jumped off the page. Jot this down. They're the gathering aspects of worship.
Brother Tom, the gathering aspects of worship. There, Jacob, the man, the old man of God is. There's Joseph. There's Reuben. And there's Manasseh. And there's Ephraim. And they've all gathered in the Father's house. And they've gathered in the Father's house. They have assembled themselves in the Father's house. Now, Brother John, I know you've heard this, and I've heard this, and this is a good night for it. Have you ever heard anybody say this? Well, I'm not going to be able to come to the revival tonight, but I'll be there in spirit. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're going to be there in spirit, but I will tell you, and I'm not picking, and I'm not being up mean to you, but I'll go ahead and tell you, you won't get it staying at home. There's something about gathering in the Father's house. There's something in the Father's house that you can receive. You can get something from God when you come into the Father's house. Now you say, man of God, explain that to me. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you, there's something in the Father's house. You won't get it at Dollar General, and you won't get it at Walmart, and you won't get it at the gas station, and you won't get it at the beauty salon. When you gather into the house of God and you begin to worship Him and praise His sweet name, would anybody agree there is something you can receive in the house of God? Now you say, Derek, I wonder what I can get. Well, I just have to tell you, someone asked me the other day, Brother Carl, they said, Derek, I don't understand you. You go to church every day, almost every night. Over and over you go to church, and you just blow my mind. You preach like a lawnmower chasing you, and you just go back over and over. And why do you go to the house of God? Oh, Brother Tom, I don't know about you, but I just get something here that I don't find anywhere else. It makes the sky bluer and the grass greener and life sweeter. I don't know about you, but there's something to be said about the gathering aspects of worship. Brother Bill, when I come into the house of God, I gather in the name of the Lord, and there's something there. Well, I don't have time, so I got to move, and here's where I'm going. So there are the gathering aspects of worship. Number two, no, subpoint B. So you might as well call it right. So here it is. Not only are there the gathering aspects, there are the grateful aspects. You say, man of God, explain the grateful aspects of worship to me. Well, everybody that would, look up here. Worship is not us bragging about us. That went over so good, I think I ought to hit that one again. Worship is not us bragging about us. I get nervous, Brother Tom. I get nervous, Brother Carl. I get nervous, Brother John, when I get around them guys that just go into week-long telling me how anointed they are, how gifted they are, and how spiritual they are, and how, oh, y'all hear me? And they're just so great. I'm like, well, man. And I've even had them tell me this, Brother Tom, you need me in your ministry. Now, I get a little nervous with them kind, and I'm not picking, and I'm not being unkind, but I'll tell you something about the grateful aspect of worship. Worship is not me bragging about me or me bragging about you. Real worship is me bragging about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Worship is when I get my eyes off of the storm clouds, and I get my eyes off of the problems, and I get my eyes off of the stress, and for just a few moments I lift my hands and I give God praise and I give God glory. He's worthy of that. Amen. The grateful aspects of worship. Now just give me a moment. You say, man of God, why do you think Jacob was grateful? How do you know? How was he showing gratitude and thankfulness to God? Why do you think that? Well, before I hit that, let me just say this. Would you agree with me? We're living in a society that's not very grateful. We're living in a world, Scott, of people that's not very happy. I mean, they're down on life and they're upset. And I don't know about you. I mean, they give me a nervous twitch. Life doesn't always make sense, and life ain't always easy, and things are difficult. But I'll tell you what I love about Jacob. I love this, Brother Carl. Here's how I knew he was grateful and thankful. It's in verse 3 of Genesis 48. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He appeared unto me at Luz and he blessed me. It sounds like a man that is thankful. It sounds like a man with gratitude and appreciation in his heart. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Now he's telling Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh. He's beginning to pour into them. He knows that his days are numbered. He doesn't have long to live. And I just believe, Brother Tom, he shared with them and he reminded them how he ran from the wrath of Esau in Genesis chapter 28 and the condemnation and the death that was shadowing his life. And he tells them, Brother John, that night that he laid his head on a pillar, a stone, and a ladder reached down from the glory world and reached from the glory world to planet Earth, and the angels was ascending and descending. Let me interpret that for you. Angels were going up. This is real deep. And angels was going down. Now, before you think I'm making fun, Brother John, I asked the Lord one time. I said, I know they were ascending and descending, but I don't know why in the world, God, them angels are going up and them angels are going down. Would you give me a little help there? Here's what God told me. He said, Derek, that's day shift and night shift. Woo! Sometimes you just got to shout on your own message. Amen. They were going up and they were going down. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. And he laid his head on the pillar stone. And he said this there. He said, surely the Lord was in this place. And I knew it not. Brother Bill Rogers, Joseph, he's saying, listen, boys, I bless the Lord. He's been good to me. He brought me into the household of God. And I'm grateful. God's been good to me. And I want to give him praise for what he's done. There are the gathering aspects, and then there are the grateful aspects. I'm still not done. Let me give you one more, and then I'll jump into point number two. And here it is. So here's what I got. There are the gathering aspects. They gathered in the Father's house. Then there are the grateful aspects. He's teaching them, if you're really going to be a worshiper, you have to be grateful. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be a worshiper, you have to be grateful. Then he taught them the last lesson. He taught them the giving aspects of worship. Do you agree it's more blessed to give than to receive? And hear this principle. While they're worshiping in the Father's house, and heavenly blessings and heavenly bounty is being poured upon them, and Ephraim and Manasseh have been adopted from grandsons to sons. Everybody look up here. In other words, they've been elevated. They've been adopted into the family. I got to thinking about the giving aspects of worship. And I got to thinking about when I was lost, Brother Tom, and I belonged to the devil, and he controlled me, and he governed me. And I remember I was lost and undone. But I remember when Jesus found me and set my feet on a rock to stay and put a brand new song in my back. Y'all ain't hearing me. And he changed my life forever. And every time I come to church, I ought to be reminded I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. My name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I need to give him praise when I go to church. Amen. Woo. I don't know how y'all can stay so calm, but you're doing real good. Here's where I'm going. Pastor Carl, here's where I'm going. You say, Derek, would you go a little further? When I belong to the family of Satan and the family of sin, and I had no future, and I was deserted, and the enemy of my soul, the devil, left me on the side of the road to die, left me on my own demise. And there I was. I know you know the Good Samaritan. There I was, Brother Mike, gasping for breath. Hey, I had blood all over me. They stripped me of my garments. They left me there to die. But I'm going to tell you what blesses me. The Good Samaritan, the Good Samaritan came where I was, and he poured him the oil, and he poured him the wine. Y'all ain't heard me. And I don't know about you. Every time I go to church, I can't help it. I'll raise my hand if nobody does. I'll shout glory to God whether anybody does, because he's been good to me. Hallelujah. The giving aspects of worship. So I preach to you about the aspects of worship. Now, Brother John, here's my second point. I want to preach about the attendees. Oh, some of y'all said, well, what's an attendee? Well, write that down and we'll break that down. An attendee of worship. The attendees of worship. Brother Tom, there are three of them. There's Joseph, there's Ephraim, and there's Manasseh. You mean to tell me, Brother Derek, you've got three attendees? No, I don't have three. The scripture has three. And Brother Carl, if the scripture gives us three attendees, then there ain't no sense in me just giving one out of three. I might as well give you all three. And I'm going to do that. And here's what I love about Cornerstone. And I know I've told Brother Carl this before. Here's what I love about it. I get the pulpit early. And there's no pressure. Everybody look up here. If you get to pulpit at 5 till 8, you're in trouble. When you preach as long as I do, folks will get a nervous twitch. They said, oh my God, it's 5 till 8, and they don't even have Derek up here in the pulpit, and it's going to take a long time. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Don't y'all say, y'all's acting real spiritual, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you. You know I'm telling you that, but you give me the pulpit early. It just frees the man of God up. So they're the attendees of worship, Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. The first character, the first attendee, is one of the most beautiful pictures of Jesus Christ I've ever read about in Scripture. I mean a beautiful picture, but I'm going to tell you, Rachel was barren. She had no children. I'm just going to preach anyhow. I'm going to see if we got any men that's not scared to amen this. Rachel is barren and she has no children. And Brother Tom, you and I got a loud voice. And Rachel, I said she's barren, and she lashes out at Jacob and she accuses him that he's the reason she don't have any children. And here's what I love about Jacob. He said, take it up with God. Woo! John, I knew that man walked with God. Some of you men looked a lot. Y'all look nervous. I can see it in your eyes. I'm going to tell you something right now. He said, take it up with God. She prayed, long story short. She prayed, Brother Larry, and she had a baby. And after she cried, God heard her cry. And God opened her womb and gave her a son. And she named him Joseph. Now, Joseph's name, here's what I want you to write down. Joseph's name means God shall add another. God shall add another. You say, Derek, explain that. Well, I'll explain it and then preach it. The Lord did exactly that. You remember Rachel gave birth to another son and she called him Benjamin, and God added another. Would you agree, Brother Beale? God did exactly what God said he would do. If you agree with that, shout amen. But here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to know. Worshiping God, giving God glory, giving God honor. When I look at Joseph's life, Brother Tom, and I know you, and I know Brother Carl, y'all forgot more Bible than I'll ever know. And I'm just a young preacher. But I want to tell you, men, and I mean this with all due respect. I just believe when you look at Joseph's life, it don't look like an addition. His life looks like a subtraction. Now, don't raise your hands, but I'll go ahead and raise mine. Has anything ever happened in your life that you felt like it was a subtraction instead of an addition? You didn't understand. You didn't understand, Tim. You thought you scratched your head, Brad. You scratched your head, Aaron. And you said, I don't understand. God, you're not adding to me. God, you're not adding. You're not blessing. It feels like a subtraction in my life. Who am I preaching to on a Monday night when it feels like there's been a subtraction? It doesn't feel like God's adding. He's taken away. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Now, I could preach a week, and you think I'm making that up, but I will give you all I got. You say, what did the boy lose? Did he really lose anything? You know, I deal with folks all the time. They don't think you can lose anything. That's another story right there. I didn't come to mess your theology up and make you mad at the world, but just listen to me before you write me off, and just listen to the man of God and hear my heart. I'll tell you what it lost. He lost the security of his father. You remember, he goes down there and he's lost the security of his father. And then they take him and they throw him in a pit. Let me explain the pit to you. A pit's a hole in the ground. It's too deep for you to climb out of. Brother John, if you want to mess me up, throw me in a pit. I don't know if y'all can tell, I'm a little movie, fidgety. I hate sitting still. Y'all said, I'd never guess that. Well, I'm trying to enlighten you. Amen. I move a lot, and Brother Mike, that's just how I am. It's my nature. It's who I am. I'm a little bit fidgety, but I want to tell you something. They put him in the pit. That ain't bad enough to me. You put me in a pit, and then if you're going to put me in a pit, and then you're going to eat right in front of me. If you want to get on my nerves, throw me in a pit and eat right in front of me and lick your lips and act like it's real good. Hey, I'm the baby boy in my family. I got Eddie Eugene and Billy Fred. And then Pamela Renee. That's my whole bunch. That's my brothers and that's my one sister. And I'm the baby. I know y'all have never guessed that, Brother Larry. I'm the baby. But I'll tell you this. My family, if this was a spiritual gift, my family would be, and it was in the Olympics, they'd be gold medalists. My family are agitators. Oh, God, they know how to get on your nerves. They know how to rub it in. Have you ever been around anybody who just knew how to rub it in? And oh, buddy, they'd rub it in. I'm telling you, my brother would drive me crazy. And they did it. Man, they were good at it. And I can just see Joseph. He's in that pit. I got to go. He's in that pit. They're eating in front of him. And then finally, one of them felt sorry for him. And they lifted him up out of the pit. Do you remember what they did? They took that coat of many colors and they dipped it in blood. And they took it to their father. And they said, is this your boy's coat? You remember that story. But do you got to remember this. When they took him out of the pit, they sold him into slavery. And he winds up at Potiphar's house. Now, I need everybody to look up here. This is where preaching got real good for me. Potiphar had a wife. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to name her, because I'm an evangelist. We can get by with this. Potiphar. If your name's Polly, God asked you to forgive me. I preached to a lady over in Heart Shore in Oklahoma. Her name is Polly. She don't like this sermon. But I'll tell you this. Here's what I learned about Polly, Brother John. And I believe this. I believe Potiphar's wife was a good-looking lady. Everybody look up here. The devil will not tempt you with a mud hole. If I was a note taker, I'd get my pen and paper out. He will not tempt me with a mud hole. Because that's true. I mean, that is a fact. I believe, Brother Carl, she's pretty. I believe she's a good-looking lady. And I'll tell you, son, I was reading it the other day, and you remember what he said, Brother Tom? There she was, and she cast eyes on him. She wanted to lay with him. She wanted to be with him. And you remember he left his coat, and he ran. But do you remember his words? He said, hey, he's kept back nothing from me but thee because you're his wife. How could I do this wickedness and sin against God? Brother Tom, have you ever thought about this? And the boy ran. I said the boy ran. Someone asked me the other day, said, why do you think he ran? I said, I'll tell you why. He was scared of what he could do. He knew he had the ability to mess up. God help us. Brother Carl, if I could get that to my teenage kids, if I could get that to this generation, if I could get that to Papa and Mama and Dad and Mom and Grandpa and Grandma, I get nervous around this generation. They act like they're not capable. They act like there's no way they could make a mistake. You look up here. Everyone in this room could break every sin in the catalog. You're not immune to it. You're not above it. But I'm going to tell you, when you choose to run and you choose to walk away, it's the greatest day in your life. Hallelujah. I could hit that, but here's what I'm going to say. So he lost the security of his father. They throw him in a pit. And then Polly lied about him. And Polly, he ran and he left his coat. And Polly lied about him and said, you brought this man in. And he tried to defile me. And look, they take him and they throw him in prison. Brother Mike, would you agree with the assessment I made earlier? It don't look like an addition. It looks like a subtraction. Then I thought about the butler and the baker. I don't have time. He interprets their dreams, and one's restored and one had his head cut off. Pass Bible, shout amen. Long story short, I remember finally Potiphar. You remember Pharaoh. They bring him out of the dungeon. They bring him out of the prison, and they bring him. They shave his head. They clean him up. They put new garments on him. I think they put a ring on him. And in all the things they did, and here's what I love. That morning, Brother Bill, he was a jailbird, but by that afternoon, he was second in command in all of Egypt. You say, how did that happened? God added another. God was the addition in his life. You say, what do I need to do? If you look up here, young man, you look up here, young lady, if you'll continue to worship and you'll be faithful, God will add unto your life. Wow. You say, Derek, you got anything else? Yeah, there's three attendees. That was attendee number one. Attendee number two, he'll be my shortest attendee. His name is Ephraim. Ephraim's name means fruitfulness. Brother Carl, bearing fruit. I just believe that if we'll manifest Christ in our Christian experience, if we'll just be worshipers in our Christian experience, God will bless us with fruitfulness. You say, Derek, what's fruitfulness? Good question. Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Someone asked me. So what do you think Roland, Oklahoma needs?
better question. What do you think Cornerstone Free Will Baptist Church needs? They need you to be fruitful. I'm dealing with a generation of people that want zero responsibility. I just float along. I just go to church. I just say amen every once in a while. I put $2 in the offering pan, and that's good. Well, we're proud of you. But that's not the best you can do. Being a fruitful participant in the church is living a life that is so pleasing that it is contagious and people see what you have. You got joy. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when you really got a blessing from God is when you're going through hell and everything that could go wrong is going wrong, and you still have a smile and you still raise your hands and you still go to church and you still worship the Lord. Would anybody agree? That is being a fruitful witness. Long story short, my last attendee, here's the one I'm going to preach. The last attendee's name, Manasseh. Here's what I want you to write down about Manasseh. The last attendee, and then my final point I'm going to say is my shortest point. I wish I'd have got an amen right there. Here's what I want to say. The last attendee is Manasseh. Manasseh means God made me forget all my toil in my father's house. Brother John, I want you to see this. Nick, I want you to see this. Joseph's firstborn son, Manasseh. Joseph was exalted to place of governorship and leadership. He's feasting at Pharaoh's bounty. He's dressed in the finest of linen. All of Egypt, he's got the best that money can buy. Brother Tom, I'll tell you the truth about Joseph. Something's missing in his life. He's got position. He's got ceremony. But it's not satisfying. Can I go ahead and tell you? You might have more money than you know anybody in this on the planet. You might have position. You might have pedigree. You might have rank. But can I go ahead and tell you, that will not satisfy. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. And he learned, Brother Carl, his wife has gone into labor. I don't know why. This blesses me so much. He goes down there and he goes down there and his little boy, he picks him up and he's got brown hair. He's got brown eyes. And when he lifts him up, Brother Tom, and he holds him to his chest and he looks down and he says, I'm going to name him Manasseh. I'm going to name him Manasseh. Because when I held this little boy, brown hair, brown-eyed little boy, I forgot about my brothers throwing me in that pit. Oh, my God. I forgot about Polly Potiphar casting her eyes on me. I forgot I was a 17-year-old boy when they threw me in the prison to rot. And I sat in there for 13 years. It don't hurt me anymore when I hold this little baby. When I look him in the eye, I'm going to call him Manasseh, because God made me forget all my toil in my father's house. Would anybody agree? There is a Manasseh in the house of God. God can give you a Manasseh. Hold up, we'll shout in a minute. Can I go ahead and be real with y'all? Brother Nick, can I tell you? Brother Mike, can I tell you? Here's what happens when in the real world. We don't want to talk about it. Here's what happens in the real world. Somebody does you wrong. Oh, Lord. I mean, they didn't just do that. I'm not talking about pointing at you driving down the road. If that's your idea of doing wrong, boy, you don't want to deal with the real stuff.
I'm not talking about the hogs losing. Or OU losing. That's really not a big deal. Somebody say amen. Look up here. But you're at the gas station and you're pumping gas and you're minding your own business. And a man that hurt you so bad drives up and starts pumping gas right there. And you're trying not to look, but God knows you're going to look. And all the memories of what he did to you play a game of repetition. Hey, ma'am, who are you kidding? You stand in line at Walmart and you're minding your own business. The only reason you went in there, this would be a shocker, was just to buy Tide. But you picked up 15 things. Somebody say amen, men. Amen me right there. Hey, Brother John, and there she is standing in line, and the lady that wounded her, the lady that broke her, is standing there, and tears plow furrows down her face. And someone said, Derek, do you really believe there's a Manasseh? Do you really believe it doesn't hurt like it one time hurt? Do you really believe God can give you a Manasseh? Do you really believe God can help you find a Manasseh? Ladies and gentlemen, there is a Manasseh in God where it doesn't hurt like it one time hurt. There are attendees. I preached for 15, 20 minutes. Somebody amen that. At least. Here's the sermon. The aspects, the attendees. I'm done. The atmosphere of worship. I love this because I can get real with you because I'm an evangelist. You know what the difference is? I don't have to come back next week and look you in the eye. I don't mean I'm going to be mean, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Brother Tom, here's the atmosphere of worship. I'm going to give you two words, and here's the first one. Affluent. It's a big word. Affluent atmosphere. All that means, Brother Carl, all affluent atmosphere means is this. It flows easily. No obstructions, no hindrances. The water is not dammed up. It flows freely. Now, I can already see somebody saying, well, Brother Derek, where did you find that? Okay. Go home tonight and read Genesis 48, 1 through 7, my text. And read it and find out when Jacob strengthened himself on the bed and Joseph walks in and Ephraim walks in and Manasseh walks in. I want you to find, if you could ever record, where Jacob had locked the door. He didn't. He gave them free access into the Father's house. Affluent means no obstructions, no hindrances, no obstructions. It flows freely. I don't know why. I don't know who I'm preaching to. But can I tell you the kind of worship we need at Cornerstone and every Free Will Baptist Church and every church on the planet is where there's no obstructions, there's no hindrances, there's no hang-ups, but the power and the presence of God flows in the house. Now hold up. Here's what I know about affluent. Flows easy. No obstructions. The water's not dammed up. Here's what happens. Brother John, when it's like that, you don't have to tell anybody. Would somebody clap? The thing I do, someone asked me one time, said, Brother Derek, you get more amens than I do. You know why? I ask for some. I've never been too scared to ask. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Hey, but I want to tell you something. You laugh if you want to. Here's what I know about affluent. Here's what I know about atmosphere. When the Holy Ghost and the power of God moves in the house, everybody is so caught up. Nobody, Brother Tom, nobody. I said nobody is worried about the watch. Nobody's worried about the time. Nobody's worried about how long the preacher preached. If the Holy Ghost is flowing freely, people are enjoying the blessings of God.
Amen, brother.
Now watch this. Watch this. I've been in church. You're going to see the redneck side of me. I've been in church when it was tighter than a banjo string. I mean, there wasn't nothing going on. And you know what I knew, Brother John? Here's what I knew. Somebody on this side of the church didn't like somebody on that side. And somebody over there didn't give 10 cents about somebody over here.
Come on.
And here's how you knew.
That's good preaching.
Now I'm going to tell you, I can't help it. Here's the redneck coming out of me. I want to slap somebody in the name of Jesus. You say, Brother Derek, you can't. No, I didn't say I was going to do that. I said I wanted to do that.
Yes.
I'm John, I, so you know this, I'm way too spiritual to do that. That sounds real good. But Brother Mike, I'm telling you, it hinders the service. It hinders the Spirit of God. And I don't know about you. There's men in here. There's women in here that need the Holy Ghost, that need the power of God to move around the house and deal with our lives. There is a fluent atmosphere. Here's my closing point. Before I do, there was no barred door to Jacob's house. Here's one beautiful thought that I'd forgot that I got to give you before I give you my final point. Aiden, he sat upon the bed, son. Jacob sat upon the bed, the old daddy, and he strengthened himself. And when Joseph walked in and Ephraim and Manasseh walked in, the old man of God said, "It's so good for you to be here." Brother Tom, it got real good to me when I got to thinking that my Heavenly Father sits on the edge of eternity. And when I come into the house, He says, "There's my boy. I'm glad to see him." Sister Sue, He says, "There's my daughter. I can't wait." Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Hey, is anybody glad? He sits on the edge and he says, I'm so glad they're here to worship me and give me praise and give me honor. Would anybody agree? That's the kind of God we serve. I said I'd close. I'm trying. Affluent worship. The last one. It's a big word for Derek. Futuristic. Futuristic worship. Oh, what's futuristic? I'm going to tell you. Jacob's trying to get Joseph to look ahead and understand Egypt is not your permanent home. We're pilgrims and strangers in that land. He said, "Behold, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you up out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence." While they're worshiping, Brother Carl, in verse 7 of Genesis 48, if you'd put that on the screen, sis, for me. "And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. Leave that up there if you don't mind. And Jacob seems, he changes the subject, and he says, as for me, when I came to Padan, Rachel died in the land of Canaan, and yet a little way unto Ephrath, we buried her there, the same as Bethlehem. Here's what he was saying, Brother Tom, Brother Carl. Joseph, son, you have some ties to the land of Canaan. But don't get too attached to Egypt. Because this isn't your home. You're just passing through. I know your mama was buried over there. Y'all hear me? I know your mama was buried over there. But don't bury your tent stakes down too deep, because, baby, we're going to a world where we'll worship forever and forever and forever. If you think we worship down here, Brother John, I get nervous around that bunch that don't worship, because when we get to heaven, we're going to give him praise forever and forever. Futuristic worship. I'll tell you something about me. I'm preparing for that place up there. And I might as well worship down here. Worshiping at the Father's house.